What a great testimony of one person influencing another. Who's your one? Who's the one person you need to influence today? John chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Taking a break from Mark, going to the Gospel of John chapter 1, beginning of verse 40 down through verse 42 as we talk about who's your one. And I trust by now as you've been praying and asking the Lord to lay someone upon your heart that that person has come to mind and you're ready to make commitment at the end of our time together. If not, you continue to pray as we study, and I'm certain God will lead you and guide you in that commitment. John chapter 1, beginning of verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. As a freshman in high school, I had some friends who had come to know Christ, and they took the opportunity to tell me the amazing story of God's love for me and extended to me an incredible opportunity that I could trust Christ as my own Savior and be born again. They shared with me how I could avoid what I deserved, which was eternity in hell, and how I could receive what I didn't deserve, eternity in heaven. And everything changed for me when those friends took the time to care. Everything changed for me because some people took the time to tell me the story of Jesus. Now, understand, these were people who had a lot of reasons not to talk to me about Jesus. They were friends, but they were living a lifestyle that was even worse than mine, and they knew Christ and I didn't. They were freshmen in high school. What did they know about sharing the gospel? They were not trained to do so. They were incomplete in their full understanding of the gospel. There were so many reasons, so many things standing in the way as to why they couldn't tell me the story of Jesus, but they took the time to care. And back in my freshman year of high school, I trusted Christ. And from that moment on, God has given me the responsibility to tell other people now about the Jesus who saved me. And it's more than just a responsibility given to me. It's a joy and a delight, an opportunity I have to participate in God's incredible work in changing the lives of people. It's good news, and it should be shared. I can't believe today that God would invite us to be a part of something that is so important, that is so significant, where eternity hangs in the balance as we are called to bring people from death to life, to be the hands and the feet and the voice and the heart of Jesus to a lost world. And we get to step in and share the story of Christ and interrupt their eternal state of death with the life-giving hope of the gospel. And today that should amaze us. It should excite us that we get to be a partner in God's kingdom work and doing something so great and so significant. We have been given the best news the world could ever receive. Today, if you had in your possession the answer to all the world's problems, you had the answer to end cancer, if you had the answer to do away with poverty and resolve hunger around the world, if you had answers to all those things, they would not even begin to compare to what you have in your possession and knowing the answer to eternal salvation and how it comes through Jesus Christ. It's the greatest news we could ever possess. What a shame. What a shame it would be today for us to keep silent, to hold on to that secret. How tragic it would be if we did not share it with other people. Aren't you glad today someone stopped and took a few moments and shared the gospel with you? Wouldn't it be awful today if whoever it was, your parent or grandparent or Sunday school teacher or your friend in high school, whoever told you the gospel, what if they just decided, you know, it's too risky, it's too embarrassing, it's too hard, it's too uncomfortable, you shouldn't talk about these kind of things, I'm too busy, whatever excuse they made, how terrible it would be if they did not use their influence to share Christ with you because of whatever excuse. What an awful thing if someone would have remained silent with you. But someone, there was a person, and you were their one. You were the person they would tell about Jesus Christ, and they took the time to do so and to influence your life and to help you to understand the gospel of salvation. We have this life-changing, eternity-altering story of mercy and grace and redemption. It's the greatest news that's ever been told. But yet, for some reason, we have a tendency to be quiet about it. Now, we do Christian things. We might encounter hunger in the life of another person, and we buy them something to eat. We give somebody some money as we hand it out the window as we're on an exit ramp of a highway. We encounter someone who's hurting. We say, oh, I'll be praying for you. Or we might even go as far as inviting someone to a church event or a church service. But how often, honestly, do you find yourself sharing the gospel plainly and clearly with someone who doesn't know Jesus? You see, we're just far too silent. Simple fact is that there are people we know who need the gospel. They live all over our community. They are filling the offices in which we work. For many of us, perhaps they even live in our homes. People that need to hear the story that has changed our lives. And it's time for us to introduce people to the Savior we love so dearly. And I'm convinced today that we can see an enormous harvest of souls if we will just be obedient to tell the story of Jesus to people who have yet to understand it. I believe we can make a difference. I believe that today, if we make some commitments, we can see literally hundreds and perhaps even thousands of people come to Christ right here in our community. I believe that number then can multiply exponentially as those who are led to Christ tell their story and lead others who lead others, and it spreads all over the world. Millions, if not billions of people in the world can come to Christ, but it starts with one. It starts with one, your one, the one person you need to tell about Jesus Christ. And then from one, it goes to dozens, to hundreds, perhaps to millions, if we will be a simple witness to those we claim to care about. Today, we need to bring people to Jesus. If there was ever an example for us to follow, it's that of a disciple of Jesus named Andrew, the one we read about a moment ago. His story there begins in chapter 1, verse 40, the Gospel of John, where the Bible simply tells us that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. Now, Andrew was a simple man. He was just a fisherman, according to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. He was originally a disciple of John the Baptist, the person who would point Andrew to Jesus, and he became the first disciple to follow Jesus. He was the first one to step out. But it's interesting, he's never mentioned first in any list of the disciples in the New Testament. Even though he is introduced here before Peter's name, he's presented as Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You see, by the time this gospel was written, Peter's name was widely known. People were acquainted with Peter. He was a household name, not so much with Andrew. You see, Andrew was largely overlooked in the formation of the early church. But it would be a mistake for us to minimize his importance. You see, there may not be a record of him preaching some grand sermon, performing some amazing miracle, or being the author of some book of scripture, but that doesn't mean his life wasn't significant. You see, without Andrew, there's no Simon Peter. If it were not for Andrew and his boldness in following Christ first and leading others to do the same, who knows if the church would have struggled to find traction in its infancy. You see, Andrew was instrumental. He was crucial to the beginning of the early church, but Andrew wasn't in it for fame or notoriety. He was simply a man following Jesus Christ, seeking to do all he could do for his Lord and his Savior. He was like an old elevator operator in a fancy hotel, thought to be the lowest rung of little importance, and he responded to that idea and said this, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody." That's what Andrew was all about. And we need to be people with that type of attitude. In a world of people who are clamoring for fame and attention and self-service, the church needs more people like Andrew, people who just want to follow Jesus and lead other people to do the same, living a life less concerned with self and preferences, realizing life is about Jesus Christ and his mission to send us to lost people, having as a goal that of an 18th century bishop who said this as his life goal, "Preach the gospel die, and be forgotten. Until we die to our comfort, preferences, desires, and passion for personal glory, we're not going to be able to effectively reach people for Jesus Christ. We need to follow the example of Andrew. It wasn't about his notoriety. It wasn't about his glory. It was about preaching the gospel and leading people to Jesus Christ. Andrew's longing was for people to meet his Savior. And notice what happened after he started following Jesus. Verse 41. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The first thing he did was what the Lord wanted of him, to tell others about Jesus. And Andrew was responsible for bringing Peter to Christ. Now, that is of great significance because Peter, of course, was an instrumental part of the early church. He was the one who won thousands of people to Christ in the days after Pentecost. Andrew leveraged his relationships for something really great. He brought someone he loved to Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Gospel of John, all three times that Andrew is mentioned in the Gospel of John, he's bringing someone to Jesus. Right here in chapter 1, he's bringing Peter. In chapter 6, he brought a young boy with the barley loaves and fish to Jesus right before the feeding of the 5,000. If you go to chapter 12, beginning in verse 20, he brought some Greeks to meet Jesus. Andrew was one of those who seemed repeatedly ready to help other people. He cared about others. He was concerned for their well-being, their eternal state. Andrew loved people. Tradition bears that out. Tradition holds that Andrew was crucified. He was a martyr for his faith. He was crucified because he was so active in witnessing for Christ. And he was hanging there on that cross, and life was fading from his body. It's said that Andrew continued to preach the gospel of salvation to all who were gathered there. He was content with the line from that old bishop we stated a moment ago. He preached the gospel, he died, and in many ways he was forgotten. Granted, we're talking about him today, but he didn't leave behind the legacy of a Paul. He didn't reach the multitudes of a Peter. He didn't have the influence of a John. This simple man simply preached the gospel, and he changed eternity for the lost. I want to challenge you today to become an Andrew. To not worry about your fame and your glory and your achievements and what you receive out of life, but to spend your life bringing people to Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to catch a fresh vision for seeing people cross over from death to life. I want to challenge you today to make a commitment to bring someone to Jesus. Now, it's really not much of a challenge. It's a commitment we should have made long ago, and we should be reaching far more than someone. We should be reaching multitudes because we're commanded to do so. The Lord wants sharing our faith to be a priority. And bringing someone to faith is really not that hard of a challenge to embrace, because in reality, there are thousands upon thousands of people right here in our own community who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's really not that hard of a commitment to make. But would you make it today? Will you commit to bring someone to Jesus? To leave this place with a fresh commitment in your heart to bring someone to Christ, to be part of changing the world. So let me ask you the question. Who's your one? Who is the one person you need to commit to pray for and share the gospel with in the days and in the months ahead? And then think about it. What if every person here, along with all the people from the first service today who made commitments to do so, what if we all brought a person to Christ? Can you imagine the impact we would have on our community? As we reach people for Jesus, and then each of those people bring someone else to Christ, and on it spreads. It multiplies over time and time again, and before long, not just our community, but the entire world has changed. You think about the math of it. Hundreds of us today leading hundreds of others to Jesus. And as they do the same, one gospel witness from each of us turns into hundreds, which quickly turns into thousands. And before we know it, we've taken the gospel to our entire community and beyond. And it all started with you being a faithful witness as the Lord has called you. Lives are changed and people are inspired. Who knows the impact you'll have on the future? Say, but Marty, I can't do that. I'm too scared. I'm too nervous. I'm too unprepared. I've not received the right training. I haven't learned the Bible verses. All the reasons you could give as to why you're not going to participate and make that commitment. All the excuses you could offer up. But know this. God takes your insufficiencies. He takes your weaknesses and your inability, and He uses all of those things for His glory. I want you to take, for example, the story, perhaps you've heard it before, of a man who lived many years ago named Edward Kimball. He was a Sunday school teacher, and had a group of young boys, and he was really burdened for them, particularly for one seemingly troubled young man in a Sunday school class who clearly didn't know the Lord. This young man worked at a local shoe store as a clerk there, and Kimball had made a commitment to make sure he had shared the gospel and led as many of those boys to Christ as possible. So one day he ventured into that shoe store to find that young student who was working in the back stocking the shelves, and there in that shoe store, Edward Kimball led that young man to Christ. The young man's name is Dwight L. Moody, who eventually would lead that shoe store to become one of the greatest preachers and evangelists of all times. Well, the story continues. Moody, whose international speaking took him to the British Isles, preached in a little chapel pastored by a young man named F.B. Meyer. In a sermon, Moody told an emotionally charged story about a Sunday school teacher who had personally went to every student in his class and led each of them to Christ. That message changed Pastor Meyer's ministry and inspired him to become an evangelist like Moody. And over the years, Meyer, he would come to America, and while speaking in Massachusetts, a young preacher heard Meyer say these words, "If you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to at least be made willing?" That remark led a man to respond to the call of God in his life. His name is J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman went on to become one of the most effective evangelists of his time. A volunteer by the name of Billy Sunday would come and help him set up crusades, and Sunday learned how to preach by watching Chapman. And Billy Sunday eventually took over Chapman's ministry and became one of the most dynamic evangelists of that time. Billy Sunday's preaching brought thousands upon thousands of people to Christ. Well, Billy Sunday had a crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina. And in 1924, it inspired a Christian group of businessmen who dedicated themselves to reaching their city for Christ. That group, as they prayed each week, would go on to invite evangelist Mordecai Ham to come and hold a series of evangelistic meetings in their community in 1932. In the audience of those evangelistic gatherings of Mordecai Ham was a lanky 16-year-old young man who would sit in that crowd spellbound by the message that white-haired preacher would deliver each evening. And each evening as that preacher would shout and wave his hands and make those pointed comments, that young man in the audience felt like the message was speaking straight to him. Night after night, that teenager came, and finally he went forward and gave his life to Christ. That teenager's name was Billy Graham. Of course, we know Billy Graham communicated the gospel to more people than any other person in history. But it all started, as you rewind the clock back, to a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. Millions upon millions of people have been affected by his decision to boldly, in all the uncomfortable feelings that were surging through him, to walk into that shoe store and tell Dwight Moody the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, you may not fill a stadium like Billy Graham did, but you can have a part in reaching the world as you share the gospel with the unsaved. God can take your faithfulness to touch the generations who need to hear the gospel. So I ask you today again, who's your one? Will you make a commitment with us today? Will you commit to bring someone to Jesus? God only knows the far-reaching impact of your obedience. Millions may come to Jesus Christ because you were willing to share the gospel with one person. Follow the example of Andrew. Bring someone to Jesus. Make a commitment with us today. Here's what we're going to do again. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And as we remain in a spirit of prayer and you feel ready, I want to ask you to make your way to one of the stations in this room. Again, there are three here at the front. There are a couple in the back and a couple in the balcony. As God moves your heart, you make your way forward. Take one of these ping pong balls. Take that marker and put the first name or maybe just the initials of the person that God's laid upon your heart. And as you make the commitment that that is your one and the person you're going to pray for and look for opportunities to talk to about Jesus, I want you to take that ping pong ball and we're going to dismiss out this door today, all of us. And we're going to make our way to the display right outside that door. If you'll drop your ball in that display and you can be dismissed from that point. I'd ask you again not to linger in that location. Make sure we keep it flowing that everyone can get there and make their commitment and with their ping pong ball. But it's very simple. You go to one of these stations, write down your name, drop it in the display, and you're dismissed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And help us, Father, to make these commitments today. Help us, Father, to be committed to not just put a name on a little ping pong ball, but to think of it as a greater commitment. A commitment to pray each day for this person. A commitment to reach out and share the gospel and present a clear witness for Jesus Christ. God, help us to make a difference. Knowing that hundreds of us gathering together and making this commitment could transform eternity for the people of our community. That it could have far-reaching impact for decades to come. So Lord, help us now to make these commitments. Commitments that you've asked us to make already. Commitments to follow through on the great commission we've been given. Commitments we know that will bring you glory through our lives. Commitments that others have made who have gone before us that have changed eternity for each and every one of us. So, Father, we offer these commitments to you. We pray for your powerful hand to be at work, for your spirit to bring conviction in these loved ones that we are committing to today. Lord, thank you for all these who have a heart for reaching people with the gospel. Move us and motivate us now. Empower us for this task ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. So we continue in a spirit of prayer. As you feel ready, you make your way to one of those stations, and then you can be dismissed.